What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
For the next 48 hours or so, we really did not have any Giants baseball, but it felt much, much longer than that, especially with the MLB trade deadline coming right in the middle of that. Of course, Giants playing their first game last night since moving off of Mike Yastrzemski. He is with the Kansas City Royals right now. Great start for him with the Royals, by the way, Evan. I don't know if you saw that going deep against the Blue Jays in Toronto last night. His first at-bat as a Royal. So,
yeah, did you see what happened to Camilo?
I was just about to get to that. As I was going to save him for third. I was going to bring up Tyler Rogers, who didn't do anything yesterday. He did warm up in the bullpen, and he did not get into the game, though. But that must have, I guess Tyler Rogers did get to fly back to New York with the Giants. So he got a little bit of extra goodbye time there. But yeah.
He also gave the team his beer and his wine fridge.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, so he left it in the bullpen for all the boys.
That's good, because they do love that beer and wine fridge in there. It's tucked that where they are in the clubhouse. If when you walk in the clubhouse, for those who don't go in there, when you go to the, if you walk in and immediately to the left, that's where all the relievers have their lockers. And last year, Tyler and Taylor Rogers had the corner right there, and one of them, I couldn't tell which one because they're the same people. Had the fridge fully stocked with Bud Lights and wine right there in the locker. And yep, still there, so good. I'm sure the relievers will be happy to have those cold brewskis, but yeah, the Yankees, they got their first taste of the Camilo Doval experience, and I'm sure there's some people out there could say, well, maybe that's why the return for Camilo Doval was so low, but giving up three runs to the Marlins in Miami last night, Marlins beating the Yankees 13-12, so rough first game for Camilo Doval the exact opposite of the great first game for Mike Yastrzemski. But we are talking about the Giants today, and again, they needed that win badly, Evan. And you mentioned, the little things. Last night, they did get the little things done. Still 3-for-14 with runners in scoring position, which is not ideal. You got a great start from Robbie Ray. But I kind of want to start this off, but it's not a totally new team, Evan, but they are going to have to start. There's going to be a slightly different way. They're going to have to figure out ways to win, especially when it comes to that bullpen. Bob Melvin's going to have to kind of rework those last few innings there with Tyler Rogers gone, with Camilo Doval gone. Those were basically his eighth and ninth inning guys. And we saw the first attempt of that last night with Joey Lucchese coming in the eighth inning. Jose Buto, the new reliever acquired in the Tyler Rogers trade, he got his Giants debut and unfortunately got a pretty rough debut, a blown save in his first appearance as the Giants, I guess, eighth inning man. But yeah, so it's a slightly different team, but still very much the same team that we saw on Wednesday.
Yeah, look, I mean, the difference last night was someone like Dom Smith steps to the plate in a big spot, infield in, got to put the ball in play, and he got the job done. You know, I would argue in those situations the last few weeks, it feels like even the hitter prior, I think it might have been Bailey, they couldn't get the ball in play. Like, that is a team that strikes out, it feels like, the last 6 weeks, and last night, you know, I don't know, and we're gonna talk about some of the messaging from the deadline in a bit, but I don't know if they felt like the pressure was alleviated by Buster Posey. You know, the message was sent from the front office that this was a team not worth investing in. In fact, a team that they had to strip down, but they didn't completely tear it down. You know, I do think that Posey and this coaching staff and the front office in general believes the Giants are better than how they played, but they were in such a disastrous stretch that you couldn't afford to give this team any help. In fact, you had to turn the opposite direction. So, you know, I think it's a good first step. They got a lot of games left, but the fact that this was a team that came in here and swept you about a week ago.
Literally a week ago. Yeah.
Literally a week ago. I also thought it was kind of poetic justice that Rodriguez gets Mauricio, the guy who went 4-for-4 on Sunday Night Baseball and absolutely killed you with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. It's so crazy how things can change very quickly. And obviously the Giants got to go right back and do it again today.
Yeah, again, you mentioned the little things there, and the Giants kind of set the tone a little early on in the second inning. Matt Chapman draws a 7-pitch walk, which I don't want to say that sets a tone. I don't know if you set a tone with a walk, but you got to get things started one way or another. And if the Giants are going to have any sort of semblance of success in the post-deadline part of this season, they're going to need Matt Chapman to be that guy, that catalyst in that lineup that he has been throughout most of the year. So it was great to kind of see him start that off in the second inning there, drawing that walk. And then Casey Schmidt, right after that, ropes a double into left field. Well, first, I've got the Chapman walk, Flores singles to get Chapman over to third, and then the Giants' first at-bat with a runner in scoring position against the Mets this weekend. Casey Schmidt hits a double to left field, and yeah, the Giants, right off the bat, have more hits with runners in scoring position this weekend against the Mets than they did all of last weekend against the Mets, so it was great to see them starting things off there, getting two runs on the board early to support Robbie Ray, who, again, 7 innings, 1 run allowed, 6 strikeouts. He pitched very well. The one, you know, real blemish was the Pete Alonso home run in the 7th. But you know, those are the hits early on the Giants have not been getting. And if they can, again, still 3-for-14 with runners in scoring position, so they weren't great. They could have been better in these situational moments. But they get that early knock there, and I got to think like that probably just – that had to take a little bit of a weight off this team's shoulders, Evan, because – you've been seeing it a lot with this team, especially like they are so in their heads mentally right now. There is just so much pressing within this team where the later it gets into games, I think the more tight they get. And to be able to get a couple runs on the board early, that had to just really set a just relaxed tone for the rest of this game and allow these guys to kind of settle in their first game since a notable trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, again, the guys that hadn't been coming through, it felt like last night, enough of them did. Not all of them. You know, Devers still struggled early in the game. He also turned on a 100-mile-an-hour fastball from Ryan Helsley. And he was the only guy that looked like he knew what he was doing at all against a power arm. But Patrick Bailey comes up with a big double in the middle of this game. A guy that has struggled mightily at the plate. Even defensively, you know, there's been so many miscues and botched plays. You know, even a simple double play flip on a hard ground ball that Willie Adames makes, and then they barely get the guy at first. It's like those kind of 6-4-3 turns, we just haven't seen a bunch of them. So it's a reminder that this team is not the group, I believe, that just lost a 6-game homestand for the first time since 1896. But they're also a team that's going to be missing, you know, quite a bit. You know, they're not a great group. But if they pitch well, they hit well, or I should say they get a couple hits, and they don't shoot themselves in the foot, this is a squad that can hang with anyone. You know, the biggest issue for me watching them, Sam, over the last 6 weeks, it's the physical mistakes are going to happen. You're going to maybe even go 0-for-23 with runners in scoring position. You never know.
This game is brutal that
way.
You never know.
But what can you do to eliminate mistakes that are controllable? You know, they gave away so many outs, it felt like, over the 6-game homestand. And they didn't themselves get enough outs. They didn't take extra bases. They gave extra bases. And when you give extra bases and outs to teams, whether they're great like the Mets or whether they're a crappy low-down team like the Pirates, who, by the way, have been playing better, you're going to get beat. So, again, the Giants controlling what they could last night, to me, was the difference. And again, it's just a reminder, like 48 hours ago, the sky's falling and the season's over. And then they walk into Citi Field and you're like, huh, well, maybe these guys aren't as, you know, absolutely dog bleep as we thought.
They still have an 8.6% chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know about all that, but...
Playoffs?
So, I don't know, man. You're telling me there's a chance. Shout out to those who are watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Mickey D, Skills, no. I see you guys there. Glad to have you guys with us this morning. No, you're right. Ryan Walker did pitch well. He's been pitching very well of late. So, and I talked about Evan, this team's going to have to find new ways to win. And a big part of that, of what I mean, is it's going to be with the bullpen. And you saw that last night because, again, you don't have your eighth inning guy. You don't have your ninth inning guy. And so Bob Melvin's going to have to re-kind of configure what everybody's bullpen roles are. And that's going to be the first kind of interesting task, I think, to see him undertake. And Bob Melvin, who last year, I think, had a kind of a rough time figuring out what he wanted his bullpen roles to be early on. And once he did figure things out, the bullpen did settle in. He's going to have to do that now midseason with a little less talent there. And again, starting off with the eighth inning last night, I thought it was kind of an interesting option going to Joey Lucchese. I know he has been pitching pretty well. They did have Jose Buto warming up in the seventh inning there. And again, I know it is after a win, but the Giants did have a 3-1 win. It looked like they were going to set Robbie Ray up for what would have been his 10th win of the year. Lucchese comes in, gets into trouble. They almost got out of it. You have that would have been a double play ball that bounces off his foot.
Yeah.
Ends up scoring a run. That's just a tough luck play there. Buto comes in, isn't able to finish the job. But an interesting first eighth inning without Tyler Rogers because, 48 hours ago, that would have been Tyler Rogers' inning. So an interesting approach there with the bullpen with Lucchese and Buto, I thought, first off. I would have just gone maybe on Jose Buto in that eighth inning there. But again, this is the early nitpickings we're going to be doing with Bob Melvin's new bullpen here.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a huge issue with it. Lucchese has been, though I think he's probably pitched a little bit above his talent, but he's been really good for you.
He really,
And also, look, you bring him in to face the 9-hole hitter, and then Nimmo's a lefty. You'd rather have Lindor hit right than left. Soto's a lefty. Like, I understand why he probably went to Lucchese instead of Buto. Maybe even Walker could have pitched in that situation. You know, but it happens. I thought it was interesting the way that he staggered the back end of the bullpen, because he's the one thing that Melvin now has to do is he's got to trust these guys. He's got to trust these guys with their new roles. And I thought that the early returns, while they were, a little shaky, specifically from Lucchese, I thought Walker looked really good. Only a 7-pitch inning, but the most important part for him is throwing strikes. 2 out of the 3 batters he faced, first pitch strikes. Randy Rodriguez, in classic Giants closer fashion, had a very rocky inning, had a very adventurous inning, a torturous inning, some might say. But that's one of his first real opportunities on a big stage to close out a game. Remember all the way back, I believe it was earlier this year in Colorado, where Randy Rodriguez came in with his first three-out save opportunity, and he blew it. Okay, well, everyone was unhappy because they didn't get a 3-game sweep of the Rockies, but that's a learning experience for Rodriguez that now, 2 months later, comes into play when he goes into Citi Field and has to bear down to get that final out when he's got the bases loaded, when he's got 45,000 screaming at him. So, again, baseball is a game that's it's cyclical. It comes back. And to me, you saw the benefit of blowing a game to the Rockies earlier in the year. Now in a game that, to be honest, doesn't mean as much because of the Giants' place in a potential postseason push, it helps the young guy in a position that he's now going to have to take over as closer of this baseball team.
Yeah, again, last night, the Giants put this stat out this morning here in the notes they send out. Last night was the sixth time that the Giants were in a situation where you have 2 outs in the 9th inning or later, and you're up 1 with the bases loaded. So that's 6 times the Giants have been in that situation. They've come out with the win in 5 of those situations. The only other time they did not come through that 6th time was what we were just talking about there, or what you were just talking about right there, which was Randy Rodriguez in Colorado against Orlando Arcia. So I do like looking at that as a learning experience. And yeah, that was a big boy moment for Randy Rodriguez. Then firing that 100-mile-an-hour fastball by Ronnie Mauricio, a guy who was just tormenting you last weekend, that had to feel good. Just a lot of it felt like retribution in that win last night. A lot of pent-up frustration from that series last week. And you mentioned that Patrick Bailey double the rope down the right field line. Again, it was a week ago tonight, Evan, that, you know, the Giants 2-1 loss to the Mets ended with Patrick Bailey hitting a liner up the right field line that Pete Alonso sprung up 15 feet in the air to snag. I'm exaggerating a little bit on the leap there. But then last night, you know, Bailey does get that hit to go down. You know, so seeing, you know, Randy Rodriguez come in looking for a second save opportunity in a similar situation that he had last year and didn't come through, seeing him come through there, if you want to believe that this Giants team can do make any sort of semblance of a run in the second half, it's going to be, you know, improvement moments like that. Seeing Randy Rodriguez, you know, in a moment he struggled in earlier, getting better in the next time. It's Patrick Bailey getting those hits that maybe a week ago just did not fall. Some of it is luck. Some of it is these guys do just need to elevate their play down the stretch. But when you look at this team still, the lineup is basically the same. I mean, obviously, you don't have Mike Yastrzemski. You did see Luis Matos in right last night. Grant McRae, he'll be getting some at-bats in right field as well. Hopefully, he's cut that strikeout rate down from when he was down, he was in AAA. But this team, and Bob Melvin kind of spoke about this before the game. Maybe we'll hear from him in just a moment. But there are still expectations that this team should be competing. There are still expectations that this team should be trying to win as many baseball games as possible and finish with as good of a record as possible. Coming into the season, I saw this as maybe an 85-win team, and I still think this team has the talent to reach that plateau. And if they overperform a little bit, they could squeak up into that 87-88 win plateau there. And who knows, maybe they do sneak into that sixth spot of the playoffs. They have an absolute bear of a road to go, being six games out of the wild card right now. But you saw a team last night that really wanted to battle, really wanted to show that they can get this win coming off the deadline and try and start something positive. And you have the core to make that happen. And if they can use last night as a springboard to salvage what has been an incredibly disappointing season, you could definitely go into the winter feeling a lot better about this team's future, which, again, the goal is still to compete in 2026. As Buster Posey and Zach Manajian, who spoke with the Giants press contingent on Thursday, made abundantly clear. And we'll hear from those guys later on as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, the goal is still to compete in 2025. You know, I don't think that's going to result in a playoff appearance. But, again, getting back to playing Giants baseball is, to me, the most important part about what last night could hopefully signal and what the remainder of this season is. It's not a great offensive team. It's a team that is now, you know, semi-depleted in regards to its bullpen, but has potential that can emerge. Obviously, Rodriguez did it last night. I would say getting Ryan Walker back to being the type of pitcher he was last year as opposed to this year is going to be important. And then seeing which guys you want to have on this team in the future. You know, is Patrick Bailey the catcher of the future for this team? Is someone like Jung-Hoo Lee the center fielder of the future for this team? Is Casey Schmidt going to be your starting second baseman going into next year? There's a lot of questions about this roster. And something as simple as last night, like in the second inning, you know, I thought it was interesting that a couple of the guys that I just mentioned, Schmidt comes up with a double. Jung-Hoo Lee is able to, in an 0-2 count, take a slider away, put it on the ground, get a guy in with a runner on third base, and less than two outs. Those kinds of things we have not seen from these players. And I'm not talking about the Chapmans, the Adamases, the Devers. Their roles are secured. But the guys, sort of the fringe talent on this team, Sam, and even some of the you know, perceived starters. Again, Lee is a guy who's under contract for a lot of years now. But is he the guy you really want in center field? Is there a better option out there on the market this offseason? Could you use him in a trade? These are all questions that Buster Posey has to answer, and I think avenues that they have to explore if they want to improve this club. So, you know, to me, looking at what the Giants did last night is a good start. Can you do it again tonight? And can you continue to build in the right direction towards, yeah, being in it? Like, that to me is the goal now for this team. Devers, I understand, changed the expectations for a lot of people. But at the beginning of this season, I felt like if the Giants could get to August and September and just be in it, just be in an October chase. Like a lot of people on this team have not been in that situation before, because a lot of players that were holdovers from previous teams are stuck in this kind of 500 realm that they've been in for the last three seasons. So if the Giants can just be, you know, within earshot, I'm not saying make the postseason, but can you go into September, you know, maybe four or five back, three back, and just see what it's like to get that taste of, well, this is what it's going to take next season for us to really make a run. That, to me, is the most important part about the remaining 2 months of this season, and I think the goal for this baseball club.
Yeah, you got two interesting things there that I like. The first thing you said is kind of, setting things up for next year. What can we see from these guys? Because the way, when I look at this lineup, Evan, you know, as we all know, there's nine spots in the lineup, not breaking any news there, which actually, speaking of breaking news, I know this is a baseball show. I do need to share some that just broke. Bit of a shams bomb. The Los Angeles Lakers and NBA All-Star Luka Doncic has signed a three-year, $165 million max contract extension with the franchise with a player option.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
For 2028, if this was a basketball show, we'd probably spend more time on that, but we are a baseball show. But I definitely want to at least just get that out there as news is happening within the NBA there. But yeah, getting back to baseball, though, when I look at the nine spots in this Giants lineup, Evan, I see three spots that are absolutely accounted for going into 2026. And it's no surprise there. It's Rafi Devers, it's Willy Adames, it's Matt Chapman. As far as I'm concerned, all the other six spots in this lineup are very much up for grabs in 2026. I look at Jung Hooley and I look at Elliot Ramos. I see those guys, they're on the fence. You know, the lean is they'll probably be back next year. It would be a shocking development, I think, if they were not back in this lineup next year. But they still need, there's a lot that they both need to prove to me the rest of the year. Jung Hooley, I need to know if he can adjust to those outside pitches and start going away more. Can he lay off those low and away pitches? Can he lay off just those low pitches? In his second at bat there, he was chasing some of those low pitches out of the strike zone, and it just he can't be chasing those pitches. Elliot Ramos, can you eliminate the mental, defensive, and base running errors that you've been having of late? He almost got picked off at one point in the middle of the game. I forgot which inning. I can't remember which inning that was, but I remember thinking in the moment, like, it just how many ways can Elliot Ramos frustrate Giants fans? You know, he can do it on the base pass, he can do it on the field. Well, why not do it on the actual base as well? So I expect those guys back, but I need to see improved performances from them. Everyone else, though, in this lineup, Casey Schmidt, there was a 2-week stretch where you look like you could be the guy. Now I'm starting to wonder if you really are. Maybe we do need to go back and see what Tyler Fitzgerald can offer there. Patrick Bailey, I'll be honest, Evan, if the Giants go into this offseason looking to make a change at catcher, the other day we were talking pie in the sky a little bit about Adley Rutschman. And if the Orioles put him on the trading block this winter, the Giants, they did get injected with an influx of prospect capital this week. So they'll have a few more assets this winter to throw around at a potential trade. Again, not saying that is going to happen, but if that's the Giants' thought process right now, I would not be shocked. Luis Matos, Grant McRae, we mentioned those guys. Can they, in either one of those guys, seize the right field job this year and take that off of Buster Posey's plate of things that he has to worry about? So there are still question marks up and down this lineup here. Guys need to prove themselves, and if guys need to prove themselves, I expect an elevation of their games to where it, like a rising tide lifts all boats. If all these guys can elevate their games enough down the stretch to where it elevates the team as a whole and you have a strong finish to the season, yeah, you feel good going into 2026. And the other part you mentioned, Evan, is, yeah, competing, being in the mix here at the end of the season. This team, in a sense, kind of reminds me of that 2009 Giants team, where, I mean, that 09 team, they did add at the deadline. They did not sell. They added Freddie Sanchez and Ramon Ramirez. But that was a team that was good enough to compete for a playoff spot, but not necessarily get a playoff spot. But they were still in it at the end. Fans were excited. Fans were at the yard. And it left a very pleasant taste in your mouth after 2009, which set up, obviously, a very magical 2010. So if the Giants could get that kind of production, answer some of these lineup questions going into next year, and just make for a thrilling finish to this season, even if they don't make the playoffs, it's still possible for Giants fans to come away from this season feeling good about how this season went and feeling good about the direction of where this team is going.
Yeah, I mean, I think the deadline, which we'll obviously talk about, it alleviated the pressure of expectation. You know, the expectation for this team is to be competitive. Yeah, it's to go out and try and win every game. But when you sell at the deadline, you're sending a signal to your club that they're not worth investing in. And that's a sobering feeling. You know, as I have to imagine, a lot of these players are maniacal competitors, and their front office, who, by the way, is run by one of those maniacal competitors, Buster Posey, just told you, you're not worth it. In fact, we're going to take help away from you. We're going to take a strength of our team, which is the bullpen, and shout out to Yaz too, but we're taking a strength of our team and we're stripping it from you in order to get something to help our future. Like, that's a shot across the bow. And so, you know, I was encouraged by the way that they responded last night in New York. There's really no other way than to just forge on. But the Giants got a lot of work to do. Yeah, I think right field is wide open. I would say the catching spot is wide open going into next season. Second base might be open. Couple of the starting spots, maybe even the back end of the bullpen, not named the closer. Like, they got a lot of questions right now. Manager might be wide open at the end of this season.
Wow. We'll be getting to that at some point in this show as well. 888-957-9570 is the number. You can call us or text us on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Again, 888-957-9570.
Shout out to Bruce, by the way. Shout out to Bruce.
Is the number. Want to hear from all the Giants fans this morning. How are we feeling about the Giants post-deadline? What do we feel about the haul that came back for the guys the Giants traded away? What are your expectations the rest of the way? We take any and all Giants takes on this show, so we definitely want to hear from you. We'll be talking about this more on the other side. And yeah, Evan, you bring up a good thing there. The message that was sent, because Buster Posey and Bob Melvin both spoke on what that message will be, and we could make our own interpretations in terms of what message was sent this week. All that and more, Conan next on the wrap, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. The New York Mets in Queens last night, first win out of the trade deadline there, and boy, did the Giants need that one, and always fun to see guys come through and deliver against their old team. Dom Smith playing against the Mets once upon a time, and as I say, that is why he's the real Big Dom, not that, you know, fraud out there on the sidelines in Philadelphia. So love seeing that. But again, I mentioned last segment before the break, we did have some non-baseball breaking news. This coming in from Shams Charania. Lakers and Luka Doncic agreeing to a 3-year, $165 million maximum contract extension with a player option for 2028. Again, announcing that that did happen. Not that it was a shock that that was going to happen. I think ever since that trade went down last February, you knew the day was going to come when Luka would sign that deal. Evan, what were your thoughts when you saw that bit of news pop up there?
Well, number one, it sets him up to make a ridiculous amount of money after he's done with this 3-year extension. The 2028 projected contract right now for him would be a max of 5 years, $417 million, which is about $83 per year. So contracts are moving in a northern direction in the NBA. And then Lakers got a new face of their franchise. You know, it is no longer LeBron James's team. And the Lakers are now run by Luka Doncic. They are now, or I should say, represented by Luka Doncic, and they are represented by Bill Duffy. I believe he's the agent for Luka, yep. DeAndre Ayton, and a couple of other players on that Lakers team. So it's kind of, I thought it was interesting to see the way that sort of the behind-the-scenes stuff transpired in Tinseltown with Luka sort of, you know, usurping LeBron, LeBron not opting in. Is it his last season? Is he going to go somewhere else? Who knows? But overall, it's official now. You know, the Lakers have the next face of their franchise, and in a storied one, it's going to be Luka Doncic, and it's going to be a slimmer face this summer, Sam, because you had a chance to check out that Men's Health article.
I thought it was an AI image at first,
based on how skinny he was,
but that was the real chiseled Luka Doncic there on the cover of that one. And yeah, you mentioned it. It's no longer LeBron's team, and it's LeBron. He's got a year left on this deal, and it feels like the sun is finally starting to set on the LeBron James era in the NBA. He's going to be going into his age 41 season next year. And it just, this trade's always made sense for the Lakers because they are, again, it's the Lakers. They've always had that larger than life icon at the center of this franchise. And the Lakers were smart. When things were coming to the end of the Kobe Bryant era, they didn't have a direction to turn to. They didn't have a guy that they can build around. And they stumbled through the wilderness for 4 or 5 years before LeBron James decided to go make Space Jam 2 and join the Lakers. Lakers not making that mistake again. They know that LeBron's time is coming to an end, and they are jumping on the next guy. And Luka Doncic, they are making it official. Again, we already knew back in February, it's the Luka Lakers now. That's what's going on there. And if that's, they will be building around him, and it makes for an interesting season there. How's LeBron going to handle basically being not the guy on his own team anymore? Because as you said, it is Luka's Lakers.
It's never happened.
Yeah. Even on the Heat, he was still his team, basically, even though it was Dwayne Wade's team that he was joining.
I mean, in 20 years, it's never not been LeBron's team. So it's going to be interesting for sure. And, you know, I still like the Warriors' chances against him, but very interested to see how skinny Luka plays this season.
Yeah. And again, if the Warriors, that's kind of what they've been trying to do is figure out what their post-Steph guy is going to be. It was supposed to be Jonathan Kuminga. I don't have Kuminga Crisis in front of me, so I'm not going to play it.
It won't.
No, it's not. It's not going to happen. That is not going to be the case. So 888-957-9570 is the number as we transition back into baseball. I do want to go to the calls because we got one of our regulars on the wrap on the line. One of my newest Twitter followers, and I gave him a follow back this morning, Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, how are we doing today, buddy? How are we feeling about these Giants?
What's up, Mitch?
How you doing, guys? I'm doing well, thank you. Hi, I hope it's nice out there. Well, you guys don't get the humidity.
Oh, it's beautiful weather here.
Oh, yeah, 58 and foggy, Mitch. The best.
So, and it was cool, and the only thing that's not good is the real estate taxes. Cost of living, I hear.
So how
are
you
feeling? I mean, do you see... Doing well. I was looking at that article. The Laker guy, Luka. I mean, he's a little short compared to Aaron Judge, and I think I guess the Aaron Judge diet workout gets anybody in shape. Maybe I should sign up for it because I don't have a lot of time left. I'm leaving for season here. Yeah, I'm hoping LeBron can play next year because I bet you Bryce will want to come out. But maybe it's his pipe dream too. Giants, it's like one step forward, one step back, maybe a little more, but I'm glad they got younger. And when they traded for Devers, I really thought they were really going in for it and make more moves. But, you know, they didn't do as well as, say, the Padres. There's so many teams that gave all these trades. I wonder if they had enough guys to fuel a team the next game after the trade deadline was ended, especially like Minnesota, Marlins. And I think there's another team that gave up quite a few plays. But hopefully this winter in free agency, I'm glad we got to restock our farm system. But this year in free agency in the winter, we have to get the big one. We can't let it go away. Like Aaron Judge, Harper, Bryce Harper, even Correa. I think I missed one more guy, but
there's a laundry list of them. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Krieger, Semien. Yeah, Giants missed out a lot. Maybe they have to do it through the trade route there this offseason, Mitch. There's still 2 months left of baseball, though, Mitch. The Giants still have games to play. They still have games to win. Are you expecting them to still make some sort of push, or are you looking at these next 2 months as like, you know what, whatever happens, happens. I just want to see guys develop and get better.
I want to see guys develop and get better, but they still have 3 pretty good starters. We kept them. And our lineup is a top 15. He's not saying a lot, but we still have a pretty decent lineup. We just have to get a slugger next year. That's what's missing, a slugger. And we have to kind of fix the bullpen, too.
Awesome.
We're still playing. There's no tanking in baseball. It's not worth it, really.
I agree with you on that one, Mitch. I prefer my teams to win as many games as they can, and thank you very much for the call, Mitch. Always great to hear you on the wrap. And, yeah, that's always – I always like my baseball teams to finish with at least more wins than losses. That's just my base expectation. Can you at least just give me that? And if this Giants team can at least finish with a winning record, show me something positive. You know, like Evan, for me, my definition of progress with sports teams is it's kind of simple. I want to feel better about the direction of my team at the end of the year than I did at the beginning. That is my sign that there is progress. And the reason things did not end well with the Farhan Zaidi, Gabe Kapler era is because too many times the season ended with you feeling worse about where the direction of the team than better. 2022, obviously, go from that high of the 107 wins down to the low of 81 and 81. That's, again, that is regression. The next year, another losing record. You got Gabe Kapler and John Brebbia goofing off on the mound during a pitching change right before he's about to get fired. That's a sign of regression. Last year, you have a team that felt like it was in the mix. They end up not being in the mix. They end up not going anywhere, not making the playoffs. They fade down the stretch. Time to move off Farhan Zaidi because there's too much regression. That is the goal, I think, for the rest of this year is however you felt about this team back in spring training of this year, which, you know, there was a good feeling, not a great feeling about this team, but definitely a good feeling about this team. Whatever the feeling was back in spring training of this year, I need to be feeling better than that at the end of this year. Now, what that looks like remains to be seen. Again, if the Giants don't finish with more wins than losses, but the process still has you feeling better, then that's acceptable.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you.
No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
How you feel is how you feel. I'm not trying to get super deep on this, but if you are feeling positive about this team at the end of this year, regardless of the record, then I think that's basically all you, that's the minimum, I think, of what you should want as a Giants fan here in these next 2 months.
I mean, I'm going to be honest, you should already feel better. I mean, you traded and got something that this team has not had in a really long time, and that's a power bat in the middle of your order. And I know Devers hasn't swung it that well since he's gotten here, but that's a win. Like, you're already moving in a better direction.
So already you consider the season a... Is this season already a success then, if you look at it that way?
No, I mean, you want to make the playoffs, but if you're looking at where you were at the beginning of the season, I didn't expect the team to be 12 games above 500. Like, to me, they were playing a little bit over their mm-hmm. skis. And I think the acquisition of Devers was an indication that Posey eventually felt like this team was going to regress and there was an opportunity to upgrade. So I feel like with the way things have gone lately, at the end of the year, if you look back at all the things, again, glass half full, that transpired, you have to feel like this team is headed in a better direction, because there's projectable pieces that are a part of this franchise for the foreseeable future. That's one of the things that I think it made it hard for me to like kind of fall in love with the direction of whatever you believe Farhan Zaidi was taking it. There was a lot of pieces that were not carryovers. There was a lot of pieces that were plug and plays, that were 1 year deals, that were one plus ones.
Half measures, basically.
Again, the pitching staff is probably the most representative of that. You go from Gausman to Rodon to Snell. Like, you never knew or could project those guys to be back in your rotation. Even someone like Matt Chapman, if he hadn't signed that extension, he might have opted out of that one plus one plus one that he signed originally with Farhan Zaidi. So, you know, you're looking at your lineup next season. I know who's going to be in the middle of that order. Now, can we get them to hit? Like, that to me is obviously the biggest question. Can we get them to play well? But I know who's going to be in the middle of my order, and now I can figure out how to supplement them with who might be in right field, who might be our new catcher. Can we get a little more production from second base? How's the starting rotation going to look? That's a big reason why the guy who was on the bump last night, and I thought threw very well, Robbie Ray, was not someone I was looking to move off of at the deadline. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, you get blown away by something ridiculous. But even then, this team is still set up, I believe, to compete next year, to be a better version of this year's group. And if you finish with 83, 84, 85 wins, well, then how can we get four or five more wins mm-hmm. to get you to the 89-90 range? And I think Robbie Ray is a big part of that for me, at the head of a rotation that's got a couple of twin studs.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you, and I'm with you there. I am glad that did not move Robbie Ray. It crossed my mind, though, a little bit, especially on Thursday morning. I was pretty adamant on don't trade Robbie Ray, and then I see the deal that the Blue Jays made with the Guardians for Shane Bieber. They got the Guardians got the Blue Jays number 5 for a guy who hasn't thrown a pitch of consequence in, you know, since April of 2024. And then I saw the return that the Diamondbacks got for Merrill Kelly, who they shipped off to the Rangers. They got 3 top 13 prospects from the Rangers there. It would have taken a deal probably like that for the Giants, I think, to part with Robbie Ray, maybe some a little bit better than that, considering the value the Giants have in Robbie Ray. But I'm right there with you, Evan. One of the things I do like about what Buster Posey did, you know, in his deadline here, was he did very much keep open the possibility that 2026 is still very much in play here. And we were talking about before we went to the break, you know, what the message to this team was. And, You know, it was on Steiny and Guru yesterday. Yeah, they were, or the other day, they were having, I think it was yesterday. Yeah. They're having a discussion, you know, should Buster or Bob have spoken to the team and delivered a message? And my, you know, I heard they were arguing. I went to the studio and Rizzo and Carter were back there because you were obviously, you were off, you were done for the day. And I was like,
sleeping.
Oh. Yeah. I was like, what are they talking about? I was like, oh, Guru's saying that Bob Melvin should have talked to the team and Steiny's saying that Buster Posey should have talked to the team. And I'm sitting there in the studio. I'm like, huh. I don't think either one of them need to talk to the team. Like, these guys are professionals. Like, they know the job. They did not perform well enough. That is why they sold. But there's still games to be played. There's still a job to be done. So let's go out there and just do our jobs and play it to the best of our ability. So Buster did talk about whether or not this team is able to compete the rest of this season. And when he addressed the media on Thursday, here's what he had to say about that.
Yeah, nothing's ever out of the question there. I mean, we've got to play better baseball, plain and simple. We just haven't looked like the same team as we did at the beginning of the year. You know, I felt like at the beginning of the year, we harped on doing little things right. It was clean baseball, and then we've kind of taken a 180. So we've somehow got to recapture that form, that style of baseball that we had at the beginning of the season. You know, losing a guy like Raj, like Duvall, like Yaz, these are veteran players that do impact your team, but we still feel like we've got a group that should go out there and perform much better than they have, you know, the last month or so.
And again, if we're trying to extrapolate what Buster's message to this team is, it is very much simple. It's not all that different from what he said earlier this year. It's time to go. He talks about we just have to get back to playing good baseball. That's what he wants. He wants good, crisp, clean baseball. And that was kind of, I feel like, a message to the team, which is like, you guys are good enough to play up to the expectations that we have. This lineup is good enough to do damage. You have three guys in the middle of this lineup in Devers, Adames, and Chapman. Like, that is the core of a very, very good lineup. Now, you do need the guys outside of those guys to perform. Jung-Hoo Lee, Elliot Ramos, those guys are a big part of it. Lee has been, you know, hitting a little bit better this year. He's going to be a guy with probably one of the bigger magnifying glasses on him these next 2 months here. But I feel like Buster is kind of saying, like, listen, there's a reality that they had to accept here. Buster said, I think, 4 or 5 times on Thursday that he wished that they were in a different situation. But he still believes that there's enough talent on this team that just because they sold off some pieces doesn't mean you guys suck. I'm putting it bluntly there. It doesn't mean that this season is lost. It doesn't mean it's forfeit. Let's still go out. Let's still win some games. And they still have some lemons here, Evan. They should be able to make plenty of lemonade over these next 2 months.
Yeah, I mean, that remains to be seen. I mean, this team to me is about a 500 squad, which is ironically what they are on August 2nd. And I think they're going to continue to play around then. But they're not the worst team in baseball that they've been, again, for 6 weeks. Like, and I think that's what Posey in this front office had to give into. Like, it's a large enough sample size to tell you that even if, yeah, you think they're better than how they've been playing, they're clearly not good enough to buy for. And I think it's why baseball is a beautiful and an absolutely brutal game, because no one for the life of me, I've heard everyone try to, from analysts to our listeners, to people in the YouTube chat, to our Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line. I have heard so many different answers as to why this team acquired a Rafael Devers and took an absolute nosedive. No answer's been good. Nobody can figure it out. Like, when you watch it in real time, yes, you see why they're not playing well. But I, for the life of me, Sam, am going to go at the end of this season to the grave of whatever the Giants dug themselves and just continue to be flummoxed by how they went 13-25 in 38 games after acquiring Rafael Devers, which is the worst record in baseball for that stretch. I don't know. Nobody can figure it out. So you have to assume that that's eventually going to change, because if it doesn't, well, then you made a terrible trade. And I refuse to believe right now that that's the case. I got to give it more time. I have to assume that Devers is going to hit the rest of this season, next season, and regress in a positive fashion to the mean. So, yeah. To me, if you're looking at Buster Posey and sort of his message to the team, I don't know if it's incumbent upon him or Bob Melvin to speak to the group. I think it's Posey's job to talk to Melvin and have that message be, you know, kind of have that message permeate throughout the rest of the group. But like, you're still going to have to lace him up every single night and try and play your ass off, because the one thing that the Giants are playing for now, in addition to maybe an outside shot at the playoffs, which you and I feel like is probably, what, 8, 9%?
Yeah.
Not very likely.
That's according to
you're playing draft. For your jobs now. Bob Melvin is managing for his job, in my mind.
I agree with that.
And so the rest of this club, like, what motivates people? The loss of work. The loss of occupation, which is what this season has kind of turned into the last 2 months.
I always used to say, especially in college, Evan, nothing gets things done quite like necessity. It's a great way to get papers done back in the day, and it's a great way to hustle and get your job done on the professional sense as well. And again, you're talking about what went wrong over these last few weeks, and we can maybe dive into that now. Buster was asked about it, and Ann Killian asked him about it. You know, what caused, you know, how did this nosedive occur? Here is here's Buster trying to explain what's going on these last 6 months.
6 weeks ago, there was so much excitement and positivity around the Devers trade. Can you explain what happened besides just playing bad baseball? I mean, how did this nosedive occur?
No, I can't explain it. I mean, I think we all wish we had something that we could concretely point to. But it's a really rough stretch. And unfortunately, you know, it's one that, again, we wish we weren't in this spot that we were trading away and we were adding, at this point, but no, look, like I had the conversation with Bob, after the Rodgers trade, and just said, you know, from my end, the expectation is for us to go out and, like, we're going to play hard. We're going to play hard the rest of the way. The expectation is we need to play better. I've said it from the beginning. There's a brand of baseball that our fans expect. And that's going to always be the goal. The goal is every day to go out and try to win the game in front of you. Obviously, you're not going to win every day, but the mindset, no matter what the standings say, no matter how bad you feel like it is, like, that's what we have to do. And, you know, Bob obviously is on board with that.
So, again, Buster Posey, just like a lot of us, just as flummoxed, just as frustrated with these results as all of us here. But then yesterday, Evan, we had Bobby Evans join us on the Morning Roast. You and Shaz had a great conversation with him that we had a bit of kind of rush through because we had some NBA news breaking at the time. But
yeah.
Bobby Evans gave an answer to what he's seen from these last 6 weeks. And again, Bobby Evans, former general manager of the Giants, now a special advisor with Buster Posey. I really liked his answer, and I feel like it kind of shines one of the bigger lights in terms of why the Giants ended up in the situation that they're in.
We're getting guys on base, but we're not bringing them home, and, you know, not hitting well with runners in scoring position. And we've seen Adames really get it going here, and we've got to get more than one guy going. We've got to get multiple guys going. And, you know, the bottom half of our lineup has really struggled too, and that puts a lot of pressure on the top of the lineup, which actually, you know, gives your starting pitcher ability to pitch around some of your better guys because there's not as much to damage down below. So, you know that if you can get through the top of the order, you can get the bottom of the order out. And it really puts some pressure offensively on our top of our order.
So it's, again, no shocker, but lack of hitting with runners in scoring position has been the big bugaboo over the last 6 weeks for this team. Since June 15th, the day that the Giants made the trade for Rafi Devers, this team is hitting .195 with runners in scoring position. It keeps going further and further south. And there was a time when this team was actually good at hitting with runners in scoring position. Yeah, they were hitting .264 in that first month with runners in scoring position. From the start of the season through June 14th, when they got to 12 and then 11 games above .500, they were hitting .250 with runners in scoring position during that time. And we can get into this more on the other side in terms of just how the runners in scoring position issues really just snowballed on this team. And it just got so out of hand that that's how this team got into the situation that they're in right now. So we'll get into that on the other side, as well as we'll hear a little bit more from Bob Melvin as well, and some more from Buster Posey and Zach Manajian. Just a reminder, we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. 888-957-9570 is the number. Giants fans, I want to hear from you, your thoughts on this team, any and all takes. We will take them. Want to hear from all you guys. More Giants talk coming up on The Wrap, brought to you by Fairmont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.